Yeah.
Got some water? Yeah,
thank you. Appreciate that. Sure.
Okay. I think we're making headway in moving through the ego, bitul hayeshus, and moving towards the gili of what's behind that when you get rid of the false sense of self that we create. And then hopefully, I keep saying this is going to be the practical part, and then it's like, but this hakdam is also really important. It's really chashuv. It's really chashuv. So, I think we should just keep going until this is like rooted and clear, and then we're almost there.
No one's stopping you.
Huh?
No one's going to stop you.
Okay. Let's do this first. It's for you. Clearly done. It's for you. Eyes went down to Kenny.
Thank you. Both these are just ones.
Sorry, is there? Yeah, I think I gave you the double sided ones.
Oh, yeah, you gave us one each.
Sorry, yeah. So, some of them did not come out double sided, so you guys got. I put on the back because I just didn't want to backtrack. That is the other part of the Rav Dessler that we didn't get a chance to look at. I think last time we sat down, we looked at the four pieces of Dimyon, of seeing the world through the lens of your five senses, and if that's your whole reality, then anything that's spiritual is an illusion, right? But once you take one step in, so then it starts getting more and more, you realize that that's what's real, and what's out here is less eternal. We'll go with that, right? It's less eternal, meaning because this is the world of change, right? The physical reality is temporal and transient by definition, so there's constant shift and there's a constant change that's happening on the outside, right? So the cells that you walk in here with today are not the cells that you're going to walk out here with today. The body doesn't even really exist. The body that you had 10 years ago is completely gone. There's nothing left of it, right? So our memory says that it's the same one, but it's not. So this is a world where everything is constantly moving, but that which is powering the system, right, is the same, right? This is the idea of hishtavos and sameness, and that's what we're really moving in that direction in this whole idea. And I think it might make sense to actually see these other two pieces first before getting back into that Rav Dessler piece. So let's start up here. I just like he did all the work for us and brought all the marmalkomas together. This first piece over here is from Bilvavi Mishkan Evne. I think it's in Chelek Vav. I'll have to look it up for you. And he wants to know, so what happens when, this is what Kenny was worried about last weekend, the week before, and I think the week before, every time we get here, yeah, I'm like, well, if I'm mevatel the ani, what's left? Like, I'm done? Right? Like, what do you mean? I shouldn't worry about my future. I shouldn't worry about my past. I shouldn't carry things with me. What about my wife? Should I just forget about my wife? I'm going to go home. Like, if I'm mevatel the ani, what happens? So he's going to say it in more philosophical language, but there are two words to say I in Hebrew. Ani Anochi. And what's the difference?
Someone just asked.
What is essential self?
I said one was more formal.
Anochi is like when Anochi Hashem, like that's me, essence.
You also say Ani Hashem.
But I hear that. It's a good point, Kenny.
What's the difference between Ani and Anochi, which is really important. We're getting ready for Shavuos, which is all about the Anochi. That's Mamish. The all of Shavuos is, by the way, on this word, right? Like, if you can get this word right, then you can get Shavuos right, and you can get your life right, and everything's okay.
Glad
I showed up today.
Yeah. Anochi. Well, because that's, what was the Gilui? The Gilui at Har Sinai was Anochi, Hashem Elokecha. It was Anochi, right? And the Gemara in Shabbos, right, has three Mahalchim and what Anochi stands for. It's a Notrikon, Ani, Navshik, Siva, Yahavis, right? You guys, maybe we can do that Gemara before Shavuos. It's an amazing, amazing Chazal that, like, when you have that lens on what Anochi is, how Chazal looked at that, it's like it really does taka open up all of Shavuos. But, okay, yes, Anochi is essential self, and then how did you look at Ani?
So I thought it was like Hineni, like I'm here in my depth, like what Bieber was. Ani is just like, this is me, it's also me, but just more of the one that you see.
Yes, good. Now let's make that more. Let's make the definition more formal. But that's exactly right. Ani, you're gonna find in Chazal is always gonna reference like the Shechina. If it's Hashem speaking, yeah. Well, let's just go from Hashem's vantage point, and then we'll pull ourselves out. Ani is the Shechina, Right? That's Hashem speaking down here, like the part that you see. Anochi is going to reference Anochi Hashem Elokecha. So that's Havaya. That's the what flows into the Shekhinah. If the Shekhinah is the presence of God, then the Anochi is God. Right? And Shekhinah is the experiential presence of that. So that's like the simple way to point to it. And before we get one level deeper, let's take one step out and say, Ani, the way that the Malbim and the Ksava Kabbalah and a lot of the Mefarshim that deal with language, how they're Mefarish, the difference between Ani and Anochi, is Ani always gets us looking at the verb, what's happening. There's a happening taking place in the world. And the Anochi is putting the emphasis on the identity, which is what you were trying to say, essential self. So let's give an example. If I say Ani Yoshev, what does that mean? I'm sitting. If I say Anochi Yoshev, it means?
I always sit. I'm a sitter.
Person. I'm sitting. I'm a great person. I am sitting.
I'm right. A sitter. I'm a
Nope.
Oh.
So one is, I'm sitting. That's what I'm doing. Ani Yoshev. The emphasis on what's being expressed. Ani Yoshev. Anochi Yoshev is I'm sitting, not you. I'm sitting. The other one is I'm sitting. That's what I'm doing. Meaning Ani is gonna have us look out at what it's connecting to. So Hinani Ani maybe is a mavel, right? The mavel was brought, the first time the word Ani is used in Torah is action oriented. Behold, I'm bringing the mavel. That's what I'm doing, right? So Ani is gonna look out and say, I'm talking about me, it's me who's doing it, but I want you to focus on what's happening in the situation, which is like Jacob was saying, it's kind of like the part that you see. Right, it's the more external part. Whereas Anochi is, I'm going to focus on the identity behind what's happening. Sure, there are things happening, but look this way. It's me and not Elohim Acherim, right? It's me and not some other person. That looks like a question in your face.
Well, yeah, no, I mean, if now we say Anochi Hashem Akacha and Ani Hashem Akacha, those are the same exact words. So
yep. Let's hold that box. We can come back to it. Because this is the claw that they're giving. And then the only way we can answer your question is when you open up the Kabbalistic box, and I'd rather hold on that for a moment.
Sure, yeah.
Okay. So now let's just, the way that the Rav Moshe Cordovero and the Zohar and everybody else, the way they make it very easy for us, and they say, so Ani is, like you said, it's the outside and the Shekhinah. And what's the only difference between Ani and Anochi? The chaf, that's right, and the chaf always represents keser, so that means it's the root, it's the thing that you're connected to all the way to the top. So I'm always looking more identity-oriented, yeah? So when in the Sfarim, when they're talking about being mevatel the ani, like the bitl of the anochius, the ego, what they're saying is, we want to let go of the part of you that only identifies itself with what you do and the stuff that's on the outside, and that's who you see yourself as. Right, so when we let go of that, you're going to get to a higher Ani, right? You don't lose yourself; you just find a deeper part of who you are. You stop being trapped in the thoughts of your achievement, the thoughts of your abilities, right? Like we said, what you have, what you do. What was the other ones over there in his list?
Like right? Your
I am that I have. I am that I do. My achievements, all the separateness. Those six pieces. I don't have it in front of us right now. But where he brought it out so clear is when you're identified with what's on the outside, that's not the real you. That's the Ani that we're living with. That's like what we would call like your persona, right? Which, do you know where the word persona comes from?
Person.
Yeah, well, yeah. But do you know that it comes from the word mask in Greek?
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Your persona was your mask.
Really?
Yeah. So when you drop the persona, it means to drop the mask. That's literally what it means. Yeah.
Isn't there just the concept of tocho kibbero? And like you have to reflect on the inside of what you're reflecting on the outside.
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of seems to be a contradiction.
Oh no, not a contradiction. It's about finding a way that there should be a reflection that when you see the mask, I'm still seeing the thing on the inside. But uh-huh. But you can't do that to the mask if you don't know what's on the inside. Meaning the purpose of going up isn't to stay up; it's to then bring that back out. Uh-huh. That's like that's always. This was like what we were doing before Purim, right? Ruts of a show. Every time we go up to get inspired by something, it's to grab onto a light so that we can then more fully integrate it the next time we go out. It's ruts of a show. We're going up. We get more clarity, right? So you're gonna sit down. You're gonna do 20-minute hisbodidus, or you're going to do some deep, you know, Musar Vad, or you're going to do something to awaken a deeper part of who you are. And obviously, it's not to say, and then don't go home to your wife and just stay in that Musar Vad or stay in that meditation. It's no, you go there, you get clarity, and then you allow that to kind of wash over you, and then you work out how to integrate that clarity back into your life, and then you go back out. So we're not saying, you know, kill the persona. We say you take it off so you can get to this higher level of who you are, and then that starts to be the thing that shines through, as opposed to just what's on the outside, right? Mm-hmm. Meaning we don't say get rid of the Shekhinah, but we want the light that the Shekhinah is holding, right? So if you're not relating to the world, knowing that there's a spiritual reality, so all you get is physical dimension, you get time and space, you get whatever, what you see is what you get. The Shekhinah is already there, complete. So when there's a revelation of Shekhinah, you're like, wow, I'm with the Kaddish Baruch Hu. And the Shekhinah is be'etzem a mask. It's the moon. Sometimes it reveals the light, sometimes it reveals less light, right? So if the sun is Havaya, and the moon is and the Shekhinah is the moon, so that's what we mean, it's the mask, right? It's like, you want it to reflect all the light on the inside, but if you think the moon is the source of the light, now you got problems. Because sometimes you're going to feel right, sometimes you're going to feel wrong, sometimes the world makes sense, sometimes the world doesn't make sense, and you start missing what reality is. Make more sense?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like it's kind of like a fake it till you make it type of thing, because your externality is not how you actually are. I mean, you're a lot deeper, this is what I got from what you said, you're a lot deeper than your externality, but when you're trying to reflect your externality inside, you're trying to refine the internality, so it's not really a reflection of the outside. It's more of like just being more aligned with who you are internally. That's what it seems like to me.
Well, let's say it like this. And there are times for fake it till you make it. I don't think that that's an Ikra Mahalach.
Reel it till you feel it.
Yeah. No, because I find that if you go the fake it route, a lot of times people end up in resentment that they don't realize they're carrying, and then down the line it like, poof, that's not good. It's more like you put on a smile if you're going to a chasana and you're not feeling good, right? But you want to shine it, but you're not really shining. But like, you're doing the best you can. That's what you're describing.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm saying is, no, wait, hold on. There are times where you could actually stop before you walk into that chasana and reconnect, realign with who you are, actually find the joy of what it means to be alive. Remember all the things that are going well.
Mm-hmm.
Connect to the fact that, like, you know, you're healthy and you have gratitude for that, and you have gratitude for your parents, and you have gratitude for all the things that have happened to you in your life, and you sit and you kind of let the negativity and all the thoughts kind of wash away. All the things that were making you in the space where the persona comes out actually not properly reflecting the joy of your being, there are things you can do to help mitigate that problem. And it's not really a problem, but that reality.
Mm-hmm.
And then you actually feel good. And when you come in feeling good, you are a light. So that's ideal,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
So your body's still going to be, there's still a smile on your face. You're always wearing a mask. I mean, we're going to be wearing this for the rest of our life, God willing, right? But is it just what you're doing on the outside, or is there something on the inside that's shining through? And that's what we're going to be talking about over here, is you want to get to a point where your identity with what's on the outside as being the ikker isn't the ikker. That you're more focused on inside over outside. Self over just the way it's perceived. Yeah.
What, so like, let's say midos even be'etzem are outside. Meaning I am my midos, like I am my kochos or my chesronos. Like I am a nice person. And even identifying with that would be like on the outside, so to speak. Or I am someone who shows up to shul early. Like even so what would be the difference between that, which is a mask and something you're putting yourself into, and then like a shorosh neshama, meaning like, or a gilgul, right? Meaning the idea is like, he has...
The question's going to be, what happens the day you don't show up to shul? How do you feel when you don't get there early?
Wait, but I'm saying, so what's the difference between that and, let's say, this person is a gilgul of a certain neshama, and that neshama has a certain like natiya to it. Meaning it's the anochi part of him has a natiya. So what's the difference between like an ashurash neshama and midos, or like certain things?
Afraid to go there because what you're adding in a level over here. I'm trying to keep it more black and white.
Okay, fine.
You're bringing bina. in, uh-huh. which is your neshama, right? And so Ani is Malchus, Anochi is Keser.
And there's
but there's also Anochi part of you that's Bina, and there's also Anochi part of you that's Tiferes. And I mean, there are levels to your reality. Uh-huh. So I'm just trying to make it where there's the outside and the inside,
mm-hmm.
because life will be easier for us if we have it super clear in front of us.
But yeah, just say that because...
Meaning at the end of the day, even your Shorash Neshama things
yeah.
are outside uh-huh. to what we're talking about over here. There's something even higher than your Shorash Neshama, which is the Shorash of your Shorash Neshama. It's called the Shor Shor Shein
Hashem.
It's the Chaya. It's the mm-hmm. the Yechida. It's actually higher than that. It's where the Neshama comes from.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Where does that come from?
Kenny. Let's read the piece. And then we'll come back.
So the Iker is now breaking through the Klipa and like killing it, like getting rid of it, but rather is like being able to use that Klipa, that mask, that we're not and tap into like the deeper sense of ourselves and kind of go back and forth as we walk through life.
Ultimately, that's the avoda. But first, what we're doing over here is recognizing with, right, the last couple of weeks is seeing there's something called Yeshus, Anochius, the Yitzhahara, the shell,
yeah? Right.
That we take to be real. And that has levels of reality. As simple as, I'm the guy that always, and then fill in the blank, right?
Right.
That's a story. And it may be true in this world at a certain time, but it is just a story, right? And it's wonderful because it's our story, and that's what we get. We get to reflect and express ourselves in certain ways while we're here in this world. But we have to remember that's not everything, right? That's the very end. That's the most outer layer. But the more that you get identified with that and you say, that is me, so then what happens when you take that away? This happens to tons and tons of people when they have a certain lifestyle and then, you know, wealth moves them in one direction or the other, or they've been working a certain job for their whole life and then now they can't work that job anymore, right? So now, who am I? Right? This is getting to the who am I. That's what we're talking about. And the deeper you're connected to the who am I in the picture, everything else you do is now infused with the essence of who you are. It's a different experience of this world. That's really what we're talking about over here. Okay, let's go in. And again, this was coming off the heels of Chachma has these three layers. We normally cut out here. This part of our series has been to, okay, so then how do we connect to what's up there so we can draw that light down into our life? That's what we're looking at. So what we just called the Ani and the Anochi, he's calling Bitul Ha'ani and Gilui Ha'ani Ha'amiti, right? There's being Bavato the Ani, which is, it's not Sheker, but it's not the full self. And then there's a Gilui, that comes of the Ani Ha'amiti, the truer self, right? When you let go of what's on the outside. And this is everybody's fear. Everybody's fear is that, you know, if I let go of the things on the outside, what's left? The answer is don't worry. What's left is always and only ever going to be you, right? You can't get rid of you. And that part of you never dies. That's what he's going for.
The Ani Ha'amiti is another way of saying Anochi.
Yes, okay. Over here. That's how he's going to use it. So Gilui Ha'ani Ha'amiti. Reb Chaim Vital Bashari Kedusha. We could have brought each one of these makoros on their own. I like that he put them all together for us, which was nice of him. Reb Chaim Vital in his Sefer Shari Kedusha writes, "Keshehu ba levar mihu ha'ani shel ha'adam." When he's coming to clarify, so who's the self? Who's the ani of a person? Which earlier this year we saw that Ravobi's getter of ani, the adam sheba adam is das, right? So. That's what we're really looking at. Who is the Ani? Kasav Shehaguf V'kol Evarav. He writes that the body and all its appendages, Lo Heim Ha'adam. That's not the person. Lo Zehu Ha'ani. That's not the Ani. V'hochiach Zos Miloshan Apasach. He proves it from a verse that says, Al Basar Adam Lo Yisach. You should not, what's the word? Not anoint. Rub. Right? You should not... It's an English word for
spread,
right? Yeah, so it's not spread or night.
Smear.
It's more like, yeah, smear. Like, it's like that. I don't have the exact English word for it, but yes, you should not smear that on the basar of the Adam, on the flesh of the Adam. What is, and it makes a diuk, basar Adam, flesh of the Adam, kolomar, that is to say, lo zehu Adam. That's not the Adam. There's an Adam, and he happens to have basar. El basar shel Adam.
Mm-hmm.
So there's you, and you have this thing called basar. It's something you have. It's something you utilize. It's not something you are. Right? So if that's the case, mihu ha'adam ba'atzmo, so then who is the Adam? Ha'adam ba'ofen klali, right? A person, if we're looking at it generally, we could just call it nikra neshama. Right? That's when we say soul, we say, oh, that's your soul. It's coming through. It's like, no, that's the essence. That's the ani of who you are.
Anochi?
Well,
the neshama is anochi or the ani?
He's going to call it the anochi. Yeah, well, let's see the way he phrases it, because he's using his language over here. Ha'ani shela adam hi nishmaso. Right? He's not going to use the word anochi in here at all. That's what I'm trying to tell you, is that he's calling, there's a bitul of the ani, which is you thinking you're the body. And he's saying, when you do that, you're going to find the gilui ani amiti, which he's going to call the neshama. Ha'ani shela adam, the real I is the neshama, nishmaso, his soul. Chelek eloka mimal, which is an aspect of God from above. Umadua be'emes nikra ha'adam chelek eloka mimal. Why do we say Adam is a part of God? Yesh b'zeh kama b'chinos. There are several aspects to this. V'nedaber mi'b'china achas. We're going to speak about it from one angle. Ne'emar, it says in the Pasuk in Devarim, ki ani, ani hu, ve'ein Elokim imadi. For I am I, and there is no God with me, no other power or force with me. Speaks God. Right? Hashem is in Pasuk in Devarim. Ha'ani ha'amiti hu ha'kadosh baruch hu. Right? The real ani is Hashem. Hilo hazakin haya omer, im ani kan hakol kan. Right? Anybody learn sukkah here?
We all did.
So right. So in Perek HaCholel, right? Rabbi Kiva says im ani kan hakol kan.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And Rashi over there says it's speaking about the Shechina. Right? That ani is a reference to the Shechina, and he says if I'm here, it's all here. If you look at the Meforshim, what it means is im ani kan hakavana l'kadosh baruch hu. If I'm here, meaning if God's here, then everything's here. Which, what did Rabbi Akiva mean when he said that? Right? I should have just brought the Gemara and Sukkah. We could have done this with the Gemara together. But what does that mean? Im ani kan, if God's here, hakol kan. What do you mean? You're talking about himself. So Rabbi Akiva was holding at a madriga where he's saying, if I'm here, meaning if I'm fully present and I'm reflecting HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world because I'm so connected to the Chelek Eloka Mimal of who I am, right, and therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu is here, HaKol Kan, it's all here. Right? It's big. Chelek Eloka Mimal, when we say that a person is an aspect of Hashem, Kolomar, Kishem Shekiviyachal HaKadosh Baruch Hu Nikra Ani, Kach HaNivra Margish Es Atmo Ke'ani. The same way that Kiviyachal HaKadosh Baruch Hu calls himself I, so too, the Nivra, the person, experiences himself as an I. Chelek. Chelek Hu Chelek Me'atmos Kiviyachal. When we say Chelek, it means a part of the essence. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Nivra Nivraim, God creates creations. U'kashem she'etzlo yisbaruch yeshani, and just like God has a sense of self, kach u'chidesh mahalach shel ani, in that reality where God has a self, if you will, called ani, he was mechadesh mahalach of ani gam etzel nivraim. By the creations, they also have this because we reflect everything in this, everything that is above, we reflect it below. But avodas hanivraim hi, and our work in this world is legalos ulahakir mihu ha'ani ha'amiti. What is the true ani in this world? Ki ani ani hu ve'ein elokim imadi. If you think that you are, meaning your personality, is the real ani in this world, so we've lost the real ani, which is a connection to Hashem. Masha atem hanivraim tofsim ke'ani, what we perceive as I, be'emes anihu, it's really Hashem. Amitas ha'ani eno ela echad. It's amazing how many times you use the word ani in one paragraph. Amitas ha'ani eno ela echad. There's only one true ani, who is Baruch Shmo, and that's a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Let's unpack that, because it was a lot in there, but really he said one idea. Oh, I'm sorry. We have a body. We have a soul. If you think you're your body, you don't experience your soul. What is your soul? It's really just a chelik of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and that's the real ani. Right? So what he's saying is when you can get out of the perception that this is it, right? And this is the you, and enod milvadze, right? Which is, that's a sheker. You start to experience something deeper. And what is that deeper thing? That is a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Right? Again, I'm not saying that you are God. That is not what I said. But it's the individuation of God.
What does that mean?
Meaning God individuates as all life. So it is true. God is you. You are not God. Blank stares.
No, we are kind of God. I mean, no, I'm saying b'nei olam kulchem. Yeah, I mean, we are. These are the words he's saying.
B'nei olam.
Right. But I'm saying we are a dugma. We are.
Exactly. You're an individuation of right. of the. You're the ray of light from the sun. You're not the sun, but there's really no difference because you are the ray of light of the sun. That is exactly what he's saying over here, right? And so when we're talking about being mevatel the ani, we're not saying, you know, go jump off a building, be mevatel the ani. It's saying we got to stop thinking that this world is what defines us. This world is an opportunity. That's what Olam Hazeh is. It's the opportunity. You know, we spoke last night at this event about Gullus and Geula. And what is Gullus?
Distance from source.
Aniness. The wrong Ani. Ani, not Anochi.
Yeah.
Identifying with Ani.
Exactly. Because what is exile? What's the definition of exile?
You're leaving the place you're meant to be.
Right. You're not home. You are out of place. Right? You're and there's a place that you could be. You could be home with your friends and your family. You could be with your community, your country. You feel that you're rooted somewhere. So what's the root of the word gullus?
The throw up.
Gal,
right. So usually we think of revelation as a good thing. Gili is a good thing. So why is that bad?
It's through
right, it's like galness.
It's galness. It's gal. That should be a good thing, right?
Right.
Should be good.
Yeah.
Like if I would say, like, we all want revelationness, right? Be like, yes, we want that. And we come and say, that's the definition of exile.
Right.
That's what's holding you back from everything in your life.
Because the galness reveals the
thing? Nope.
Okay.
Like, we'll get there, but it's not that. No.
Okay.
I need more than 15 seconds.
Right. So gall means
to like reveal to show maybe like gall is similar to what we're saying about the persona, the mask.
Yeah, good. Speak it out. What do you mean?
Meaning that geula is geula because we don't need like gall. We don't need revealing anything because the persona that gall is like on top of what's supposed to be there.
Good. So let's, if I can tease that out for you, but that's really the nekuda. Gal means revealed, right? It's what's on the outside. And that's where you live. You live on the surface. You only live in that which is obvious and revealed to you. And if you only live in that which is obvious and revealed to you, you're going to be in galus. Because you think that it's only that that's true. What do you mean? What you see? I only trust what I can see and I can measure. That's it. If I can't see it, I can't measure it, it's not five sensory experience, who says? Mechitesi. Bring me a raya. How do I know that there's a God? How do I know that there's a soul? I can't see it, I can't feel it, I can't taste it, I can't touch it. Oh, you're in galus. Right, that's galus. Galus is, I only have what's revealed. So, what would you want to do to get to geula?
Put the olive in there.
We're going to rip it open, stick an olive inside, and say, no, there's something inside. There's an olive inside the gall. And go, geula. That's geula. Geula is,
wow.
I know that there's a depth to reality, and that depth is a oneness, it's a unity. It points us back to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, like the olive is the yud and the vav, which is 26, right? Brings us back to God, right? Brings us back to everything that's real. And we go, it's not that this world is an illusion, but the illusion is if you think there's only this world, right? So then you've missed Then you're in Galus.
Who says that?
Maral.
Wow.
You know where?
The beginning of Netzach.
Did you source it in the Shir? If we watched that Shir?
I don't think so. It wasn't for them. It's for you. But,
thank you.
But that is... but that is... and that's, like, so fundamental. I mean, that should be, like... That's a game-changing shot in Galus and Gaul. That's, like, unbelievable. So, and that's exactly what he's saying over here, is that Galus is when you're still stuck in what I see is what I get, and that's all that's real to me. And we have to find ways to go beyond that and to go inside when you go inside and reconnect to the Aleph of who we are, right? We only make mistakes in this world because we're not connected to that Aleph of Geula. That's the Baal Shem Tov that says Chet should be pronounced Cheta. We don't pronounce the Aleph because you made a mistake because you weren't experiencing your Aleph. Huh. So you don't say it, right? But, and that's the Aleph of Geula. It's this idea.
What is Chet with an Aleph in it? Is that
well, that's how you spell it. Ches, Tes,
no, 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 I'm saying with the Aleph inside. Like Ches, Aleph, Tes. Is that a word?
No. No, it's because you put the Aleph at the end of your experience and you don't even feel it. That's why you made the mistake. It's not in front for you. Okay.
So you have to, so before approach, Shrana time, like you said before and to now, so when you approach a situation, you want to make sure to have that Aleph in front. And then you do your stylus to get
yes.
where you want.
Yes, yes, exactly right. Okay. Right, we want to prioritize inside over outside and... Again, it doesn't always work out that way 100% of the time that you have the luxury and the time to go in and feel connected and then go out.
Right.
But it has to be a priority, which is why we start the day with tefillah. Like the first thing that comes out of your mouth has to be tefillah. And then we go and it's like, don't do anything until you daven. I mean, the whole beginning of the day is we prioritize going to the Aleph. And now go out and live your life and do your thing, right? You learned a bit, you davened a bit, you feel connected, you've got some gratitude, life is good. Now, boom, now go out and have your day. Gevaldik, you're one step away from Galus because you've brought the Aleph with you into going out. That's a paradigm to bring with us into every situation, right? Mm-hmm. Like the famous, again, you have to pull it one step over to make this the MS, but I think this is really what he was saying. Rav Shlomo Zalman, when he would give marriage advice, he would say, what should a person do before they get home?
Eat a snack.
Stop. Don't go right home. Eat a snack. Wait outside for a few minutes. Collect yourself and then go inside. This is really what he was saying. You have to be a you. Now you can go out and be mashpia. If there's no Aleph in there first, uh-huh. you're going to just be wow. gullusing everywhere you go. You're just like, you're a gullus machine. Right. But when you're connected to the root, right, and you've got, you know, Anochi in there, it's like, ah, I'm gonna come and I'm gonna shine my light, I'm gonna take care of you. Like I'm not in scarcity, right? I'm in abundance, I'm not in fear, I'm in love and inspiration, right? That's the shift we wanna make. That's what he's speaking about over here. And if you think that you're just all the stuff on the outside, that's how your life's gonna be. Is that a question or it's your face?
Okay.
Okay.
Oh, you asked your last question.
No.
You sure? Okay. So just I Pasuk in Iyov says Ayar Pera Adam Yivaled. Says he seems to imply that man is born.
Okay. Got a babysitter for this week, so we wouldn't have this issue.
You break it, you take care of it.
You're born.
You break it, you buy it.
It implies that man's born like a donkey, like a wild man, like not something inherently wrong at birth. You volleyed. Like you think moment of birth, that's like the most, you're anochi, boom, you just came out, nothing's happened yet. But you're born a wild donkey.
You're completely ani.
You galuted it
that,
all.
You literally, when you, that's exactly, your question's the answer, right? We're being born into this world, right? And you get hit. What happened right before you come to this world? Pure Anochi. It's like, I know everything.
Yeah.
Literally, I'm like connected to Kadosh Baruch Hu. I know everything in it. You come into this world, and what the world is galus. That is what it is.
You just got kicked out of
you know, the Olam Elyon, and now you're literally just in this physical reality. And the Maharal says, why do you get hit in the mouth? Is not because, you know, we need a little bump here. That's not the answer, even though that's what I was told as a kid. It's because the mouth is where we get lost in this world. Anybody who has a young child right now, how do your kid learns the world through putting things in their mouth. It's all about that. That's the most important sense in their reality, which is why you're constantly looking after your kid to make sure that they haven't put everything in their mouth, right? But their mouth is like, basically, it's like it's sensuality. It's like I'm tasting something. I'm putting something inside of me, and I'm really identifying with this world. And a baby learns to identify things through the mouth. That's as a child. And then when you get older, it's still through the mouth because now we just want to talk and talk and talk and talk and talk. And that's where we express ourselves, is through our speech. So the mouth is the thing that, if it's not mitukan, right? If we're not getting it right, it's actually what's keeping us grounded out here. In Olam Hazeh,
like Peh, Po.
Yes, exactly. You're completely out here, and beauty is when it's reflecting something on the inside. You're eating in a healthy way. You're eating like a Ben Adam. You're speaking words of Kedusha. You're speaking words. So that's Yofe. Yeah, Yofe is Yud Po, and you're reflecting it the right way. That's beautiful. When you're just Peh oriented, you're Po oriented, and you're just getting. So that's the reason why it's coming to this world, right? There's another pasuk, right, that says. Leva Adam Ramana Urav, right? The heart of a person is bad in their narness, right?
Yeah,
Na'ar, right? Urav, when they're Na'ar. It's because there's an immaturity, it's a katnus. Excuse me. So that's exactly it. We come into this world, and it's not like, oh, we're Anochi. We actually come into this world to develop and find that and then express that. No, that's actually what we're doing here. Mm. We're here for Geula.
Okay.
Clarify that. Basically, this whole process of Galus and Gula, you just said, is to find that Aleph within the Gal. But I mean, does that form a relationship with Hashem? Yeah, how do you stem that with, like, you know, the whole point of this world is to give us own it, or, you know, for Hashem to give us good? Where does that fit in?
What is the good?
Hashem.
Okay.
So you experience Hashem through this world, and therefore, what, you're creating more
of a, you're finding the Aleph in everything. You're finding Kadosh Baruch Hu in every experience.
And that's creating.
You're redeeming reality, if you want to put it in that language. That's what we're doing here. It's like everything's an opportunity for Geula, right? Literally, the Lashon of the Sfarim is that, like, there are all these nitzotzes of Kedusha, right? Like, again, it's a really high idea, but the idea is that everything has a purpose, right? And every time you find something and use it for its correct purpose, you're being Goel the nitzotzos. You are a walking redeemer. Mm. And every time you're living life in the right way, you are uplifting. That idea of uplifting it is, oh, I found the Aleph in why this is here. I found the Aleph why and that's here. Oh, I found the Aleph in this, you know, relationship issue that I'm having, and I'm able to pull it out through that. Ah, I've redeemed this problem that I'm having at work, or whatever it is that we're going through. We're looking to say, wait, it's like, how do I bring Kadosh Baruch Hu into the situation? I know that it's there. I know that there's nothing devoid of the Aleph. Nothing is. Very often we have a hard time doing it on the outside, and therefore, if you want to get really, really good at solving issues in life, relationships, anything, you could look for the Aleph out there. He's saying the easiest way, and this is the Malach, is first get to the Aleph in here. Yeah. When you feel connected, you're going to have the inspired thoughts to figure out what to do out there. When you're in a bad mood, how good are you at problem solving? Right? When you're not in a good place, you know, not good, right? But when you feel great and you feel inspired and connected and plugged in, you don't even see the problems. People are like fighting, like, what's the problem, guys? Everything's okay. And then they're upset at you because you're so happy. But that is how it works, right? When you're more plugged in, you're able to see the Aleph everywhere else. This is why the Ramchal, the Baal Shem Tov, I mean, everybody has this inyan of Mashiach has to come to you before Mashiach comes to the world, right? You first, you help bring Geula by bringing Geula to yourself, right? So, and this is the Geula Senefesh, is letting go of the things on the outside. And you found Mashiach, as far as you're concerned. Like, I'm good. And of course, you know, if you are, from Chaim Kanievsky, that's all. You're one of these people who, like, you're just living there all the time. There's some people who they shine like the sun, and, like, they're just in Geula. Yeah, they're in Geula. We don't have to, like, strive to, like, it's all the time, and we're perfect, and we're, like, yogis, and it's all, like, it's like, oh, there's a ruts of a show, right? We're striving to do better, and then we bring it back in, and we strive to do better, and we bring it back in, and there is this movement. It's a movement. Eventually, Kadosh Baruch Hu, if we're Zoche, you know, you get these more extended experiences of Geula. It's not just a feeling. It's a, oh, now I understand. It's a shift. I think everybody on some level has to have that shift even to get to yeshiva. I don't even think you can have a person leave an entire life and come move to another country, any country for that matter, to do any form of a self-exploration without having some sort of geulas and nefesh to allow them to say, Aleph, I need to go find Aleph. Right? That I think that is the shift. There was some sort of bitul ha'ani, being able to let go of, you know, it's the caterpillar muscle, right? Like, you know, they had to, like, something had to die for you to find something new. This is, like, it's amazing. Once you have this yisod clear, it's like every chazal that speaks about this big cosmic idea comes alive. This idea where they, what were they called? The Chachmei Alexandria.
No,
over there in Tamid. They were asking Alexander the Great, and these Chachamim were having this conversation over there in Tamid, Daf Lamed Beis. I forget, there's a certain type of Chachamim they were speaking to. And the question was, how do you live? Like, what's the source of Chaim? And their answer was, kill yourself.
What?
Mm-hmm. And that's what they're talking about. Okay. This is what they're talking about. there's a Mishnah in Maseches Derech Eretz that says, if a person wants to live, meis ad shetamos, die before you die. What does that mean, die before you die? This is what it's talking about, right? It's about, you know, normally we're going to translate, this is the, if you want to be Mekone Torah, what do you have to do? Ein Torah niknes ela b'mishe meimis atzma on the Torah. You have to kill yourself on the Torah. Mm-hmm. So like the standard kind of like yeshivish mahalach is like, you gotta learn it to like, you can't even talk anymore. Yeah. What it means is you have to like completely destroy your gaiva and your ego and your everything, and that's when you can actually be kona the Torah, because the Torah is the ore that's coming through and you get rid of the...
There's a massive movement right now in the secular world. You've probably heard of it, called ego death.
Yeah. That's this.
Yeah, that's a momish dish.
Yeah.
Like a lot of like... We're doing like a lot of like events with like learning with like college kids and stuff, and just like different groups of kids who like they're not related, like they pined when I'm paddling, you're speaking about this.
Yeah, I mean it's really it's just a comeback. I mean this was really popular in the 60s and 70s.
They do it through drugs.
Well, that's how they're doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, turns out you don't have to. Maybe it's ala Torah. Maybe it's atzmacha ala Torah. That's where we're going. Okay. So far, so good. I know this is high stuff, but again, this is all kind of hooked up to like some stuff that's gonna be a little bit more grounded and practical. But
not so high stuff. This is already practical.
Great, schmuck. But it's still high stuff. I mean, we're talking about you know the idea that you're you are a god. Not high.
What's the chiddush?
Come on, Rabbi, tell us something we don't know.
No.
Okay. Let's see this next piece.
Rabbeinu.
Yeah. Piece on Likute Maran. And it's a really, really beautiful, beautiful piece. He just makes it so... The whole piece is gorgeous. And this one paragraph, he puts it all together really nicely for us. And over here, he's basically going to tell us, well, okay, kind of back to your question, Jacob, which is, you come into this world, you're para Adam, you're Lev Ram and Urav. Like, where is it coming from? Like, how, why, where, when? And then, how do we get out? So, okay, we're here. We start off in this certain reality. And I guess it's Sheker. I guess we're living in Sheker. Right? We're born into Sheker. Which is great, because that's what Chazal called this world, Amma de Shikra. Fantastic. What's Olam Haba called?
Olam Emes.
Olam Emes. Okay. Do you have to wait till you die before you get to Olam Emes?
No.
Die before you die. That's what Chazal meant. Die now to the Olam Emes here.
Is that a Ben Olam Haba?
Yes, exactly right. That's what it means to be a Ben Olam Haba, is you don't have to wait... Right, till you're gone, right? You live here as a Ben Olam Haba, a person who says Ashrei three times a day. You're Ben Olam Haba. What does that mean?
Two halachas a day.
Huh? Learn two halachas a day. You're Ben Olam Haba, right? Person who's Sameach u'Mesameach, right? A person, a happy person who makes other people happy, right? Gemara Tainus. Ben Olam Haba.
Toras Chaim,
right? Toras Chaim, right? He's quoting Rabbi Kiva Eger, right? Or excuse me, the other way around. Rabbi Kiva Eger is quoting the Toras Chaim. And it's really, this is all these sources that you asked for that I never brought you. The Arizal and the Sefer HaBahir and the Zohar and everyone who says Olam Haba is an experience that is to be lived now. It doesn't mean the world that you get later. It means the world that's constantly coming. It's the world that's always Haba. It's every next moment is Olam Haba. And when you're living in that place, you're like, ah, I'm free. But that's in the Olam Amas. Living in the Olam HaSheker. What is that Shoresh?
Shoresh of the Sheker.
Yeah. Where is that coming from? And then from looking at where the problem is, we can look back also towards the answer.
Over the Gaul.
Yes, exactly. Right? So let's see how he says it. His Havus HaSheker, the creation of Sheker, the creation of, or the emanation, the notion, the being that there is a lie, shehura, huhara, right? All of that is perceived as evil in this world. Because what is evil? I don't see how it's connected back to Hashem, right? I just see something that the world looks like it's off. The world looks wrong, which is the essential sheker. The essential sheker of the Bria is things aren't okay. There's no manager. There's no intelligence in this world, and you have no purpose, right? Ikar sheker. That's Ra. Shehu Tuma, right? Ultimately, that's what Tuma is. What does Tuma mean? Right, okay, but the shoresh of Tuma, the Tesmem, like a tum-tum, what's a tum-tum?
Blockage.
Huh? A blockage, exactly right? They were...
always gets you kicked out.
Huh?
When you were your tummy, you're getting kicked out, always.
You're blocked off from the flow. That's what it means to be tummy. It means you're blocked off from the flow. Tam Aleph, I'm blocked from the Aleph. Tam Aleph, blocked from the Aleph. As Rashi, Allah Torah. First time I think we see it is by the wells. Yitzchak went and dig all these wells, and they filled them in with it was by Yitmanim, right? They went and they filled them up. They were metamtem. They blocked up these wells. So Tuma is I'm blocked off, which is Ra, which is Sheker, right? Humachmas harichuk me echad. It's because we're far from the one, from oneness. We're far from what is echad? Echad is the Aleph. It's the clarity. It's Hashem. It's all the things that make life make sense, right? It's order. And so when we find ourselves far from that clarity, far from that order, far from experiencing a world that has love built into it, so we fall into the Sheker. Ki harahu negdius. That's probably the easiest way to say it. What is Ra? What is evil? What is messed up in the Bria? Who negdius? When something is neged, what does neged mean?
Opposite.
Right? Against, right?
Gravity. Opposite. It's pulling against you.
Right, exactly. It's opposition. It's against. I think the right word for this is resistance, mm-hmm. right? It's when there's any form of resistance that's pushing against whatever it is that we'd like to see, we'd like to say. L'mashal. Kol ma shehu neged ritzono shel adam hu ra. Now this might be the most simple but profound explanation of how we define Ra in this world. Anything that goes against what you want is bad. Now, let's do a real test. What is bad? What do you think is bad?
Palestinians.
That's on recording.
Okay, let's start over.
That was a pause in
the versus recording.
That answer wasn't to that question.
Right, that was a different question. Yeah.
Who are we looking for peace with?
Yeah.
Okay.
You guys are just dragging at the mirror.
That's funny. Right.
If there's no garlic challahs outside the yesh, that'd be major.
That's evil. That's the world has gone awry.
Because I tried going early yesterday to pick them up, and they weren't there. Ah, so now I'll go Friday and still not there because too late. That would be.
Oy vey.
Yeah.
Right. So when we think about when we think about things that have gone wrong, right, or bad, like what's bad, Ben?
Construction on Confei.
Construction on Confei. Yeah, talking. I'm really a positive guy. I'm a positive things here.
Traffic,
construction on Confei. And why is that bad?
Stopping everything you want to go.
Yeah.
Well, that's actually more so. Tell me that it is raw, if you want everything.
Okay, but let's no. But he's saying that the shorish, these are all the same thing because it's negdius. Because what is that? Would you rather there not be construction on Confei?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I'd rather not. I'd rather this not be. Would you rather there be onion things outside of whatever it is you're talking about?
Yeah, sure.
Right. So then, and then you start going even deeper, right? And obviously, we don't want to. This is not a. It's not a light subject, be'etzim, because when you start thinking about things that you would say are evil, like real, like God forbid, dark things. So, if I really asked you why is that bad, right? You know, there's hunger. You know, 600 children die every. I think it's every hour, from starvation still today, whoa, right? In 2022, that's a real thing, right? We still have work to do. You say, wow, that's bad. Why is that bad? Right? Again, not that particular thing, but why you hear, you know, you read a headline on the news, you're like, wow, that's bad. Right? What about it is bad?
We don't see how it's connected to Hashem.
Yes. Okay. And if it just stays that, by the way, then it usually stays pretty intellectual. When do you feel something is bad?
If it were to happen to us.
For sure. But now I'll translate that. Why should that make any difference?
You feel the badness before even it happens.
Maybe, yeah. But why when something that goes seemingly out of order? Why do we feel like, wow, that stinks? Like that was bad.
I don't think that's how it should be. I don't want that.
That's it. It's just very simple. I don't want that. I'd rather that not be happening or have happened. I don't want that. That's the shorish. The shorish is it neged yeratzon or not? Which has made life very, very simple, right? It's almost an extremely challenging, difficult reality to deal with. But that's the metzias. The metzias is, why do you cry when something bad happens in the world? And the answer is, because I didn't want that. Not because it's bad. It's because I didn't want that. Because the person who did the bad thing, they're not crying. That's weird. Event took place. Shouldn't everybody feel the same way about a certain event? When two countries go to war and one side has a victory, one side's celebrating, the other side's crying. Same thing happened, but one side wanted it to happen. Fascinating, right? This is like going really to the underpinnings of like, how do we look at life? And we're really, really Bali Gaiva. We really think, because really what that's saying is, I know better. Mm-hmm. Right. I know better. I know better. Because I think it shouldn't have happened this way. Shouldn't have happened to me. Shouldn't have happened to them. Shouldn't have happened like this. Shouldn't have happened like that. Whenever you go there, you say like, yeah, that was raw. Mm. Right? Which is why the tikkun for that is searching for the aleph in those scenarios. Looking for the gamzu letova. Looking for the, right? That's mamish, the mahalach over there. Again, not to go all the way down into the darkness of the raw, but just for a moment as we're looking at it is, we experience it that way because we're like, it's a neged. Like, I don't, that, like, we have absolute, any, the degree to which you feel something is bad is how neged it is to what you want. There you go. That's your whole life. And that's the degree of the pain. And if you don't really think about it, it's like you read a headline, it doesn't mean anything to you. Like, so-and-so got divorced. Who cares? that someone's crying somewhere. It had nothing to do with you because you don't have an opinion on it. Right, you're not like sholeh on that experience. It's happening way out there, right? So we don't feel it, right? We may intellectually understand, okay, this shouldn't happen, that shouldn't happen, but it's still coming from it shouldn't. I think it shouldn't be happening. Now, there's a difference from it. I don't want it to be happening, and it shouldn't be happening. To, okay, I see a reality, and I'd like there to be reality where people experience more good. I would like that. So I'm going to focus on moving things forward. I'm going to focus on progress, right? And so I don't let the evil consume me so much that I become one of these activists that's holding a sign and they've lost themselves in their sign, right? Which happens to a lot of people. They like start fighting for a cause and then very often they'll lose themselves in the cause. It's like, that's not what it's about. It's a fine thing to fight for a cause. right? But so long as you're rooted in your Aleph, you're rooted in the Ani. That's what he's saying, is that's the shorish of all the Sheker in the world and all the Ra in the world and all the Tumah in the world, is we're not being connected to the fact that there is an Aleph, right? Alufo Shel Olam, there's a Kadosh Baruch Hu, there is cosmic order, there is design, things are moving in a direction of Geula. And if we stay connected to that, we don't just feel better, not just like a noun, life feels good, but it's that's what helps bring more of that shefa and that bracha down into this world. It's having an impact. It also puts you in the position to actually be mashpia, right? So as a mashpia, if you're in a group and everyone gets all negative, so if you buy into the sheker of the negativity, so you lose the class, for sure. Like, without question. Like, if you're with a group, and that's happened to me before, like, I remember this one class I was teaching on Ma'or, like, in my very, very early days, like, I don't know, probably like 10 years ago, and this was a group that, they were so negative. It was so, like, I came in there to speak about Simcha, and basically they were like, I hate you! Whoa, like, it was, like, super intense. And I bought into it, and I was, like, trying to, then I got on the defensive of all these, that's what happens to you. You buy into the sheker, you get on the defensive, because you've lost your shoresh, you've lost your aleph, you've lost what you're doing here and your connection. And by the end of that, you're like, what just happened? I just got like steamrolled, like I missed it. When you're connected to, well, I know what I'm doing here. I know who I am, you know, happy here now to share this. And I'm not gonna buy into the tumah, into the sheker, into the ra that the world is, and the world at large is always going to, until we get to the geula haklalis, it's really easy to be negative. You know, always find yourself around people who have something not great to say, right? I remember I met a certain individual in my life who I asked them, you know, how they were doing. And the first time I met them, I didn't know that this was something that they say all the time, but they were like, I have nothing to complain about. I was like, anything to be grateful about? I mean, I guess that's a madriga. That is a madriga. I have nothing to complain about. I was like, wow, okay, fine. There's work to do, right? And that's good. That's like a good place to be. I have nothing to complain about, which is like, I'm feeling fantastic, right? So the more that we stay connected to the Aleph as an individual, and you make that your priority, you're helping to bring, instead of Sheker, you're bringing MS. Instead of Tumah, you're bringing Kedusha, right? Instead of Negdius, you're going to bring flow, right? This less resistance, more flow, understanding that things are moving that way. He's going to say that's the trajectory of life. When you're connected to Echad, there's no resistance. Ela kulo tov. What you experience is, it's all good. Mzesha amru chazal. That's what it means in Psachim when it says, "Bayom hahu in the times of Geula, yiyeh Hashem echad ushmo echad, sheyiyeh kulo hatov v'meitiv." Everybody will say hatov v'meitiv on anything that happens. Why? Because.
Because, no Diana Emet?
Huh?
No Diana Emet?
No more Diana MS.
Right.
It's only Diana MS as long as...
If you're disconnected.
That's right.
If it's connected, you're Ratzon.
That's right. Ki be'echad ein shayich ra. So it's all a tova metiv. Akein la'asid lavo yikuyim. That's why when Mashiach comes, when there's a time of Geul and everybody gets this, Sfas emes tikon la'ad. Lips of truth will stand forever. Ki yie az kulo echad kulo tov. It'll be a world of emes. That's the olam emes, when everyone gets everything has a reason. Emes is right, aleph mem tav, meaning I see that there's a vision for what's going on here. Sheker is I'm narrow, right? All these horrors on emes and sheker. That's happening in our day to day all the time, right? It's not just when I lie I'm being narrow, God forbid, but that if I'm feeling narrow, I'm caught up in the lie of the world. When I can get broad and get general about life, usually we feel upset about something when we micro focus on the one thing that went wrong, right? Mm-hmm. The scratch on a new car, right? You forget the fact that you have a new car, right? And like, and all the seats are really nice, mm-hmm. and everything's going well. Like that. That's what we do. That's sheker, right? You're missing the bigger picture, right?
What?
Yeah.
Something that Jacob and I have argued about for a bit of time, but if you worked on yourself in this idea, for example. Let's say, you know, you go to a funeral, right? But Maisa, you're sitting there, you know, if you've worked on this idea and you've put it into yourself and all that, you're like, oh my God, like, unbelievable, this person died. And they're going to the Olam Emes. Like, let's get out, like, let's celebrate. Let's talk and celebrate. What do? The Maisa, you're supposed to, it sounds like you say Baruch Dynamis, meaning the Olam Haza, you're supposed to feel that moment. You're not supposed to be happy.
It's not that you're supposed to, it's that we do.
Meaning?
Meaning, he's saying in the future we won't. Not that, and then we shouldn't. He didn't say when Mashiach comes and when Geula comes, now the halach is going to change. Now, even though you're going to be feeling bad, don't say Dina Emes, say a Tova Metiv. No, it's saying that until then, you will be feeling the, you will be feeling the Ra. When you feel the Ra, you say a Dina Emes.
No, but meaning that the Olam Hazeh, the Maisa, I shouldn't try to bittle the sadness. Meaning, where I'm at right now, where we're at in this world, it sounds like we actually, I mean, we're saying Baruch Dina Emes to relate also to the reality. Meaning, I shouldn't bittle the sad feeling going on.
It won't be real. That's the problem. The problem's not that one shouldn't. It's not about shouldn't. It's that most likely in that case you're suppressing an emotion. You're saying there's an emotion. You're saying don't feel that because everything's good. You know, you're in trouble. That's what we were saying before of like, right, if you put on the mask of, oh, everything is just an illusion, everything's okay, but you yourself are living in a delusion because you just put on a mask and said nothing exists, but it's like, but you are here. And you know, if you're walking past a tree and then it like snubs your new shirt or something, and you're like, I like that shirt, right? So if you were really holding here, right? If this were a reality to you, you'd be like, Kamzul Tova, and you keep smiling and walking and whatever, right? But if you're not, it's like, wow, that's a dynamis experience. That's how you feel about it. So it's not saying don't feel real. It's saying know that there's an ideal state, and we're moving to move towards that state. That's the trajectory, that's the movement. And there will come a time when it sounds like a fantasy reality where it's like, no matter what's happening, like even if something happens to somebody, there is a celebration because we're not worried about what happened to them. Usually the reason why we're crying at a Levaya is about us, what we lost, because we feel loss. A person who understands how life works, you're not crying for them. Oh, they could have had, you know, another day of learning. Like, if you really, that's a high madriga. It's a super high madriga if that's how you're really feeling about somebody. Like, they could have learned one more Daf Gemara, which is the only reason, if there's something to cry about for them, that's like the only thing is that they could have been more Ruchani. But now they're Kulo Ruchani, right? So, we're really crying because we lost something.
Mm.
So, but what if you came to a Hakara? What if you truly had the Hakara that you can't lose anything? You'd say, Baruch Tov Emetiv. That's what we would say. He's saying that's the reality. It's not that, oh, and then that's how we should force ourselves to get there. None of this is about creating a false version of reality. It's about knowing that there is a world where you can get to, and let's start on small things, which is why I hate going to like the tragic part. Like, if you go, as soon as you go to tragedy, you're like, but Rabbi, the Holocaust. Okay. Let's not talk about the Holocaust. Why? Not because it's not true by there, but because you can't even be Bekabel this reality on that. Let's talk about the fact that like you got a parking ticket. It's easier.
Right.
Is there a difference between a parking ticket and the Holocaust? God forbid, of course there's a difference. But be'etzem, it's just a question of how much loss. What loss? So once we're dealing with loss, basically the worldview, how it is, can I borrow a pen? Sorry. Is there's good and evil. Right, or bad. And then there's good. This is life. Basically, we're all here. And then there's living above that line, which is there. That's why even the good is a lowercase good. Because it's just the way I think about it.
Mm.
I think it's good. I feel like it's good, so it's good. Has nothing to do with the fact that it would be good no matter what. And that it's part of a divine plan. When you're davik to Hashem, when you have das, Dakanita Machasarta, you're up here. Like, I know. It's all good. Everything's okay. Now it's harder to do. The more loss there is in physicality, it is more challenging to live above that line. So the avoda is to start small. The avoda is to start with, you know, you have a rough phone call, and in the past maybe that would throw you out of your equilibrium for like the next hour. And they're like thinking about this call and it's like kind of bothering you, and because you see it as what happened was bad, right? And so it's affecting the way you're thinking, it's affecting the way you're feeling. It may come out in other conversations you have with people that day. Like, that's the opportunity to say, hold on, let me stop, go in, do a quick, you know, and take a few deep breaths and think about what do I know is true? What's really real? And look at the negative feeling as a teacher of like a reminder, oh, I must be feeling negdius right now. There's something negative inside. Right? That's why, amazing, the Toldos Yaakov Yosef, Talmud of the Baal Shem Tov writes, Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Samid means Shivisi Hashem to all my negdius. I bring God to everything that's neged inside of me. So every time I feel a neged, I go, wait, there's a Shem. There's a Shem in my life. I'm feeling a neged. Wait, but there's a Shem. I got to remember. Got to remember. Sorry.
Really? Just on his...
Yeah. And then we'll let you guys go.
On his point, though, that you're saying the highest level is to see that it's good, all the while what we experience at a funeral is the people at the highest level are the ones crying and feeling the pain the most deeply.
Because we have to look at it as there's a, I don't know if it's a spectrum or it's a ladder. Because we're so disconnected, so for us it's just intellectual, the next best level is I feel it in a real way. I feel the negdius. And then from there, there's a level above that, which is, but I don't feel the negdius. Not because I don't feel anything about it, but because I'm actually feeling like this is in alignment with Hashem, right? So we're all the way out here. So we're like, oh, that person who's crying, they're on a real madriga. They really get it, right? Mm-hmm. But it's not because they're at the top. It's because they're just way above where you are, where you don't feel anything. So at least they're feeling that's negative.
You can't even put the olive in a negdius.
Exactly. Like it's not that, oh, I understand that everything's okay. There's a reality that if it's not real to you, so then you don't actually have to deal with that negdius.
Let's say somebody else experiences a tragedy, right? Somebody else, and then that you come tragedy. and you come
back to tragedy.
No, it's because somebody has a passing in the family, right?
Yeah.
I imagine if Moshe Rabbeinu came, it was Menachem Avil, to the house during Shiva, he would be feeling that person's pain more than anybody. He would be crying more than anybody because he's totally no sub olim chaver with this person. And he feels that. That's he's crying. He's not saying a tovo meitiv there. Deep, deep, deep down within himself maybe, but still, okay, that's the complex person as you should be. The deepest part of you says a tovo meitiv, but on the outside, you should always feel the pain there. And for that person.
So, but look what you did. You took it off the mace and put it on the avil.
Yeah.
And so if he focused on the mace, he maybe still does feel a tova meitiv. But now he's looking at a person who's talking in pain here now.
Fine.
Okay, but so now, you're right, on some deep level, you know, if he truly is at the very top, he'll sit there and he'll hug him and he'll cry with him. Not just because he's in pain, but because that's the avoda of empathy and connection. He's trying to create a bond with another human being.
But he has to feel real pain for that. He has to feel the pain.
Sure. But whose pain is he feeling? Whose pain is he feeling?
No, that person. I get the mace one. Right. I agree with, but I'm talking about this person, which happens all the time. You experience people who are going through pains, and to feel somebody else's pain, which is real. The highest level is there is such a thing that the highest possible level you can imagine, like Yitzhak Avinu to Yaakov, when Yaakov thought Yosef was gone, and Yitzhak knew he wasn't gone. He knew that this person was in the Olam HaEmes. He knew that Yosef was okay, but he still cried, says Rashi.
I can go there. I feel bad. You guys have another class in 10 minutes, but this is the difference between Emes and Shalom. What you're describing. Meaning, a person who's kulo emes and doesn't have the mita of shalom is, what's the word he used? Rebbe called it dangerous, or I have to ask my wife, we were once speaking to him about this, that there's a person that we knew who, like, really was, like, in a real way, like, cool MS, right? Mm-hmm. But they didn't have the mita of shalom, meaning they couldn't feel connected to another person, they couldn't feel connected to the situation as it related to in this world. And Rabbi Gershenfeld said something to the effect, if you're in the world of MS before the rest of everybody else is in the world of MS, you're, like, either destructive or dangerous. He used some, like, really, really heavy language about that person. Because we're not there. That's what he's saying. So this is a Geula Dika idea. In Geula, this will be true in every way. This is not going to be true for tragedies until we get there. And therefore, it's a different avoda. That's what I'm saying. What we really have to do is we have to start here for the things that are not all the way up there. But the emes is still the emes. The emes is a person who's all the way up at the top. It'll be a chil Hashem for them to even show up to a levaya because they might have a smile on their face, mm-hmm. and therefore maybe their vote is not to come to the levaya, maybe their vote is not to be with this person, because if it's that clear, if there's so much MS, you're just like, okay.
So what was Yitzchak doing?
What do you mean?
Why was Yitzchak crying with Yaakov?
Because it's a different avoda, and it's also we're not in Geula.
Okay, so you're saying even Yitzchak Avinu was not at that level.
Moshe Rabbeinu smashed rocks because he was upset at Klal Yisrael. He hit the rock because he... I mean, we're not dealing with perfection. We're not in Geula.
But and you made a chiluk though between yeah. your own. If you so if somebody passes away, they're an olam hamas. You don't have to feel. And if or something happens to you, your highest state, which again you shouldn't fake, but the highest person there will not be crying in that situation. But always when it's somebody else feeling pain, I guess that now we're going to that's shalom, and that you have no choice but to feel the shalom for the person.
Because shalom is the media of being a real mashpia, of being a real friend, right? So you can't connect to somebody if you're not able to meet them where they are. You just can't do that. So if that mita is missing, so you're going to be brittle and destructive if you try to show up and relate to somebody where they and you're in like two different olamos. Like you're over here, they're over here, and there's going to be pain that's shared when you try to give them a hug and you're like, it's going to be okay. Like, I don't know if you've ever had that experience, but like I've seen that happen where there's like some event that took place, maybe not as tragic as like a true tragedy, and somebody's like trying to make like a to turn it into like an inspirational moment, and like it's the wrong time. Like that is not the avoda right now. That's the wrong mahalach. Like the people who are like going through something. Right? The mahalach is what's the Gemara Bracha says. What's the schar of a beis aval?
The effort of going there or something.
The silence.
Right.
Silence. Why? Because what do you say? You go there and you go there and you don't say. Because if you try to say anything at any like if you try to like input something on that, you're probably just you're speaking from a place of wherever you are is better than wherever they are, right? Because they're in the avilus. So you're trying to explain or say or give and it's hard because you Baruch Hashem, you're not exactly where they are. Right? If you were exactly where they are, right? So then maybe on some level there's a level of relationship. And that's why if people go through similar situations, they can find a resonance with another person who went through something similar, which is there's healing to that. But the healing isn't in the fact that, oh, he's also crying. That's not where the healing comes from. It's that in that moment they don't feel alone. They feel part of a bigger echad. That's why it's healing. It's because you're for a moment bringing them back into, oh, I'm not by myself. I'm not isolated in the fact that I've gone through this and like I'm broken and stuck and like my life is over. It's like we're part of something. That's where there's a healing process that's taking place. But that and that's going to be real. And I still think it's exactly that, which is today in this until we're in a place where you say a tova meitiv on everything that happens. Tragedy is a tragedy. You say dynamis. The halach on the Shulchan Aruch says when a person makes a dynamis, they have to say it with as much simcha as they'd say a tova meitiv. Oh. That's halacha, Shulchan Aruch, it's a Gemara, Mefureshes. So you have to deal with that, which is like, I say a dynamis, but like I have to be happy. Like, okay, we're not there. But that's saying that even now, even at the time where it's not geula, and you say a dynamis and not a tova meitiv, because like it's a steer to reality, I don't see it how it makes sense. I have to still be able to say it with joy. That's like that's
with simcha.
Mamash with simcha. Lashon simcha, the same simcha that you'd say on a tova meitiv. You have a baby boy, you make a tova meitiv, you're extremely excited about that. Like, so that's a high madriga. I don't understand. But that's in the Shulchan Aruch, right?
That happens to you. I hear that, but that happened to you. So I guess that is the chiluk again. That happened to you at least. It's the highest level of what happens.
To the individual that's going through it.
Yeah, you can't do that. Somebody else, you don't want to be with somebody.
Yeah.
Yeah,
okay. I feel terrible. Okay. I know you guys have another share in a few minutes, so we can pick up. But wait, let's just leave off on a positive note. Everything's okay. All is well. Kulo tov. Kulo tov and meitiv. And we didn't get to this the piece in Rav Dessler, but Bezras Hashem, next week we'll start moving it back into the experience.
Work towards that ideal without being detached from reality and like not
exactly. And that's really what we want to do. Right now, I just want to paint the picture so we see this is what's possible.